I've confronted hundreds of men over two decades.
I have been in television for 24 years.
I just came to get something to eat.
And I have very seldom been at a loss for words.
Sir, I just came to get something to eat.
Men online looking for children to sexually assault.
What's the motive here? Explain it to me.
No, you're right. It's stupid. It's an illegal thing. Yeah, I know. I did a stupid thing.
Men from all walks of life. A doctor, a teacher, a clergyman.
You sent pornographic pictures through the mail. Okay, that's a federal offense right there.
You know I'm in trouble, and I know I'm in trouble.
I tried to get into their heads and understand why.
What piece do we have tonight?
I want to know who you are.
I want to know a little bit more about you first.
Now you first?
Sure, go ahead. Let's see if any of this sounds familiar while you enjoy your pizza.
And ultimately, make sure they face justice.
You ask her if she's a virgin.
I ask everybody all kinds of stuff. It's just talk.
You ask her if she's horny.
What's wrong with that?
You ask if she does anal.
It's a question.
Who are they? Have they tried to prey on other children? And where are they now? These are the predators I've caught. I'm Chris Hansen.
The internet, social media, dating, and rideshare apps all make life so convenient and fun.
Swiping to meet up with someone new has become part of our daily lives.
It's also how many unsuspecting people have ended up dead. I'm Courtney Bell.
And I'm Jillian Lee Garner, and we're the co-hosts of the true crime podcast, I Met My Murderer Online.
In each episode, we share a true story of one such deadly online connection and hopefully how you can avoid it. We hear from all who were involved in the case, the investigators.
They discovered a victim inside the house.
Victims' family members.
Right now, it doesn't feel like life can ever be joyful again.
And sometimes, even the murderer themselves.
You have to decide, okay, what are you willing to do here? Are you willing to kill these people?
If you're a fan of true crime, then you have to listen to season 2 of I Met My Murderer Online on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you know, and as I share each week here with you, I have a dark fascination with the predators I've caught. And part of the reason is that, as I often say, if you can get inside the mind of a predator, understand a little bit about how it works, what makes them tick, you can better protect children, society in general, from predators of any kind. Sexual predators online, financial predators, all of them. And sometimes I think it's interesting to explore some of the lesser known cases, especially when we flip back to the early To Catch a Predator investigations. And some of these cases were not fully explored in the initial television shows. That really wasn't the concept then. For example, the Riverside, California investigation, the Riverside County, California investigation. In January of 2006, the first investigation where we collaborated with law enforcement, the Riverside County Sheriff's Office, 51 guys surfaced in 3 days. So the way we did the show then was, each investigation gave us 2 hours of television on Dateline. And there wasn't even really thought given to taking each individual and expanding it into one segment. Now, later, MSNBC did Predator Raw, where we'd go back and examine individual cases. And producers would sit me down and interview me about the experience I had with each one of these predators. And there are good episodes. They're great. But unquestionably, some of the predators I've caught have been overlooked. For no good reason. Just that they didn't make the original episode. The video of a particular predator was on the MSNBC or NBC website for a period of time, then was taken down. Some of the individuals were featured on various YouTube pages, and NBC Universal then decided to have those claimed under copyright rules. Understandable, I suppose. And one of those cases that I think is worthy of a close examination is Abraham Khujababian. That's right, Abraham Khujababian. He was 34, and he surfaced during the investigation in Riverside County. Now, it took me a minute to remember the details surrounding Abraham. Joey Tcap suggested we take a look at this individual, and I think it was a great idea. Abraham worked in IT support and spent several hours chatting online with a perverted justice decoy posing as a 13-year-old girl named Leslie. The chat was graphic. There was no gray area here. Abraham made it very clear he wanted to sexually assault this girl. Now, he didn't say sexual assault. He wanted to have sex with her, but because of her age in California, it would be considered lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14. Not only did Abraham have this sexually explicit chat, he changed identities, and we'll get into the details here in a moment, to have a separate conversation with the same decoy under an alias to gauge her interest in a sexual liaison. So at one point, he's having an online discussion with her, posing as Tony. He said he was 28. He was actually 34. And this goes on. And then he disappears. Tony does. And then enter Marcus Fuller, who he identifies as a 30-year-old black man. Asks the decoy if he can be her black daddy. There's a sexually explicit conversation there, and then that ends, and he comes back as Tony. Now, the thought is that he was being ultra careful. He knew what he was doing was illegal, and he was probing to see what kind of reaction he'd get with a different identity. He talks about making sure she's not the police. This is the sting. We'll get into all that. Abraham is a very muscular fella, built, big guns, tattoos. He sent the decoy a picture of him in a t-shirt, his sleeves rolled up, with another muscular fellow on the front of the t-shirt. He's giving the peace sign. Well, hi, says Abraham. This screen name is EverReady122. My name's Tony. I'm 6'2", 230 pounds, very muscular, dark hair, goatee, tribal tattoo on left bicep. Would you like to chat? Wow, there's an intro for you. Leslie, the 13-year-old girl, whose part is being played by the perverted justice decoy, says, hi, Tony. Hi, so what's your name? Leslie. What's your ASL? She asks. 28 years in SoCal. Leslie says, I'm 13, female, Riverside. That's cool. What's your name? Leslie. Say, do you have a pic of yourself, Leslie? I will in a day or so. Do you? I do on my profile, he says. How about telling me what you look like? Now, he breezes right past her ASL, 13, female, Riverside. And since she doesn't have a picture available at this minute, he wants her to describe to him what she looks like. I got brown hair and brown eyes. Cool. How about your height and weight, if that's cool? 5'4", 115. Nice, he says. What's your nationality, Leslie? White. What's yours? Cool. I'm Italian here. Kujababian. How come you're not working, she asks. It's my day off. I have to come into work tomorrow, though. Oh, I see. What is your job? I'm a computer field service tech. Oh, okay. Do you like it? Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm pretty much on the road a lot, so I really have no bosses. Oh, real cool. Hey, are you on the Geek Squad? She asks. LOL, nope, but I see those guys a lot in front of Best Buy. I like their cars, she says. So how do you like Riverside? The chat continues. It's I-8. Where in SoCal are you? Right now I'm in Sherman Oaks, but I know the Riverside area pretty well since I used to live in Claremont. Now, the picture that's developing here is of a fellow who, you know, rides around Southern California a lot. He's chatting with somebody who's 13. Doesn't appear to cause him any concern, at least not yet. And very soon there's going to be sex talk. After a little back and forth about fakers online, Everready122 says, so tell me, are you someone that is open to meeting new people from online to hang out with? I think I'd be real scared of people being creepy molester guys, you know. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, what I would recommend to say is if we made plans to hang out, for example, that we at least talk on the phone so we can get to know each other better and then meet like at a restaurant that you're comfortable with and see how you felt from there. Yeah, that'd help. So it's not even like, you know, this perverted justice decoy is being alluring or aggressive in any way. She's being demure, saying that it might creep her out to meet somebody in person who she just met online. He gives her a phone number. My name's Tony, he says. Then he says, that's cool. So are you open to the idea of dating a much older guy there, Leslie, in real life? He's got kind of an irritating sentence structure. I know you think I'm a grammar hammer, but he does. Dunno, are you okay with me being 13? She reiterates, yeah, as long as you're not a cop or something. Wow. LOL, yeah, right. She says. Then she asks, you ever date people my age before? Yeah, but I hope you don't mind me asking you this question since you know how the internet is, babe. But you're not a cop or something trying to, well, set me up here, right? LOL. I'm in 8th grade. Cops gotta be older. Just a reminder, so she's given him the age at least twice thus far, and then reminded him that that means she's in 8th grade and says that she can't be a cop because she's only in 8th grade. How much clearer could you get here?
More about this predator I've caught in a moment.
Everready122, true. So you're okay with the dating thing about me there, knowing that, well, we're going to need to be real discreet about it from your parents there, LOL. It's typing style. Listen. As well as from your friends and family, LOL. Leslie says, my mom died. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks. It sounds like you've been through some tough times and need a certain man to definitely treat you right there, babe. Exploitation. LOL. Nah, I'm all right. I'm strong and stuff. Well, I was actually offering my services for that, LOL. You was?
Yeah, well, have been talking about dating, right? And since we are, well, you know, you should have a man in your life, say, well, like myself, that knows how to treat you right there at Deep, babe. All right, so now he knows that her mother has died. She's 13. And he's going to exploit that even further. I am also someone that loves to pamper a girl like yourself, literally from head to toe when we are dating. So get ready for that, babe. Pampering is good, she says. Yeah, but can you handle being massaged and pampered constantly from your man here, literally from head to toe? Hello, maybe someday. Well, I'm hoping that you mean with your man here once we start dating, right? Now he's really pushy here. So when are you able to hang out with your new boyfriend? This. Maybe once we get to know each other. You know, gotta be careful, she says. Yeah, I can understand that. As long as we get a chance to talk on the phone to get to know one another, it's cool. Leslie wants to know if he's ever been married. No, I've never been married, and I'm single with no kids here. Just what every 13-year-old girl needs to know about a 30-year-old suitor. You want kids? She asks. Someday. How about yourself? Yeah, lots of them. Well, we need to get started on that, don't we? Babe. LOL. Not now. After college, she says. Well, yeah. I was definitely referring to down the road. Believe me, I want us to have a lot of fun before that time comes between us, babe, for real. More questions about dating, about how he's going to pay for everything. And then he says, we're dating now. Well, I thought I'd try and slide that by you there before you noticed, LOL. I definitely would love to date you there, babe. That's for sure. I don't know where this particular sentence structure comes from. Well, I'm a guy that's, well, attracted to girls' feet, like yours there, LOL. How come? Can't explain it, really. I just find girls in flip-flops, sandal, barefoot, etc. as being very sexy. I'm the kind of guy that would, like, take you out to get, like, manicures and definitely pedicures. She's 13. It's hard to meet a girl like yourself that's loyal to her man these days. She talks about how boys have cheated on her in the past. She's 13. And then, in the middle of that conversation, comes Marcus Fuller. That's right. Same guy. Abraham Kujababian. Now starts a whole new conversation as Marcus Fuller. He says he's 6'5", 245, muscular, shaved head, goatee, dark-skinned black man here, 30 years in Los Angeles. Pick on pro. She says 13, female, Riverside. Now, I'm not sure if she knew right away this was the same guy, but they figured it out pretty quickly. Perverted Justice was very good at that. Koo, you into black? Wow, 6'5", you're huge, she says. He wants her to take her clothes off. Now, again, is he probing to see if she's law enforcement? Is he probing to see if she was open to sex with another fellow? If she was going to be loyal to his original online identity? Anyway, he drops off. And now Tony's back, a.k.a. EverReady122, a.k.a. Abraham Kujababian. Good. So from this point on, it's official then. You're my girlfriend and I'm your boyfriend. Hope we agree on that, babe. Sure glad you got that straight. So this goes on. And he's going to get sexually explicit here. She explains that her father, with whom she lives, is a realtor, that he's gone for long periods of time. They talk about how she's going to be home alone, and that would be a good opportunity for him to visit. 30 years old, coming to visit a 13-year-old girl. Oh, there's a phone call, all right. They talk, but they keep most of the explicit sexual stuff to the online chat. Good. I'm looking for a girlfriend that will listen to everything I tell her to do, no matter what, babe. I want to get us the hotel so we are not disturbed and really getting a chance to know each other better. What a sport. Have you ever really made out and had fun in the bedroom with a guy before? I made out, but that's it. Have you? I have indeed, babe. I know what you're looking to experience, that real sexual side of yours, correct, babe? I'm kind of scared to, she says. But you have wanted to, yes? Yeah. Nice. Well, first we will make out and then try some oral together, which will help in getting you a lot more excited there sexually, babe. What's with inserting the there? I'm going to show you, babe. Have you ever been curious and wanting to suck cock, babe? I'm just shocked that any of these guys think that that's going to go over okay with a 13-year-old girl. I mean, I guess at some point it must. I'm sure we haven't arrested every single predator who's tried to have sex with an underage child. Sadly, I'm sure some of these guys have gotten away with it before they showed up in our stings. You do want to find out what it will be like to have your man slide his cock way deep inside of your pussy, right, babe? She's 13, Abraham. I'll bring some lube and I'll really take my time in going inside you with my cock, babe. Trust me, you're going to love it. I've got rubbers that I will use on you as well, babe. If I get pregnant, my dad would never talk to me again, she says. LOL, don't worry, babe. I'll take care of you from now on. Yeah, perfect. 13-year-old girl. Don't worry, the first time can be nervous, but at least you're going to be fucked by somebody who is experienced and not some little boy at school that doesn't know what he's doing, LOL. This gets even worse. When you turn 18, babe, 5 years, duh, she's 13, it's almost like he's only half paying attention here in the chat. Like he's got 3 or 4 lines of communication going out there, you know, hoping that one hits. Maybe they're all underage, maybe not. But we do know that he's been communicating with more than one person identified as being underage. And I'll explain that when we get there in just a moment. If what you've heard shocks you so far, join us back in a moment. So he's already broken the law. He's solicited a 13-year-old girl. And guess what? He shows up at our upper middle class neighborhood sting house in Riverside County, California. Now, I have limited audio and video of Abraham. He did come into the house. He did talk to me for some period of time. It ended in tears, his, not mine. But he never made the final cut on Dateline. Like I said, some of the video did end up on the website, the MSNBC website, and I can't get it now. I do have some of it when it comes to him arriving and him being arrested and him talking to the detective with Riverside County Sheriff's. And he cries with the sheriff's detective too. Now, as you can imagine, with 51 guys showing up in that sting, it's hard to keep track of everyone. We had a teacher. We had Hollywood guy, actor. We had a registered sex offender who was in his 70s. We had a lot of big characters. And so Abraham didn't necessarily fit in either of the 2-hour Dateline shows. But he's worthy of examination, as I said.
As you've seen before, after a suspect leaves our house, he gets arrested.
Abraham leaves the house after my conversation with him, and the sheriff's detectives confront him in the driveway. Big guy, ripped, muscular, wearing a blue shirt, muscles popping out. But he gets right down on the ground when he sees the detectives.
Then he's driven away in an unmarked car.
Step out.
And brought here to a makeshift booking station.
He's a hulk of a guy. They take him to the booking station, not far away.
Because this is the first time law enforcement has stepped in and arrested the men right after they left the Sting House, this is the first time we get to see all of the men's personal belongings, which leaves little doubt as to their intent.
They search Abraham, and in his pocket they find pills. The detective asks, what kind of pills are these? Abraham says he's embarrassed to say.
Camera, a disc that I'm sure it contained some sort of pornography. He also had a thing of lube.
Guess what the detectives found on this man?
What is this? Some pills? Okay. What kind of pills? Where's the safe, sir?
The detective asks if the pills are Viagra.
Roll off a new one. Come on, tell me what kind of pills we're talking about. Is those Viagra?
Yes, sir. Now the big, strong man, Abraham, muscular, built, devolves into tears. He's crying. He cried in front of me, and now he's crying in front of the detective.
He breaks down.
Okay. Things will go a lot easier and a lot smoother if you calm down.
He's hyperventilating. He can barely keep his eyes open.
Remember, he wasn't so upset when he was online trying to set up a sexual rendezvous with someone who said she was 13.
Hyperventilating, getting so upset you can't talk is not going to help anybody. All right? So just calm down, okay?
The detective tells him to calm down. It seems like Abraham was a lot calmer when he was online trying to groom a 13-year-old girl into sex. Abraham was arrested and charged with lewd or lascivious acts, attempted lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14. Now, at first, Abraham is going to fight these charges, pleads not guilty. But what happens during the process? While he's out on $50,000 bond, what happens? This is unbelievable. Here's a guy who, under two different identities, chatted with a perverted justice decoy. Here's a guy who drove, you know, at least an hour after many, many hours of sexually charged chat online. Here's a guy who walked into the house with Viagra, a house where he thought a 13-year-old girl was home alone. Gonna show her how to have sex, be the man, all the rest. What does he do? Does he learn a lesson? No. During the time that he's out on bail, this guy, Abraham Kujababian, gets online and has another sexually charged conversation with another perverted justice decoy. That's right. Now, perverted justice reports this to the Riverside County District Attorney's Office. And, rightfully, as they should, prosecutors raise this issue in court. And guess what? Suddenly, that bold not guilty plea gets turned into a guilty plea. That's right. Abraham Kujababian pleads guilty to attempted lewd and lascivious acts with a child under 14. Now, the judge gives him an 18-month prison sentence, year and a half, which he served. And he has to register as a sex offender, thankfully. What is Abraham up to today? Well, as best as we can tell, he is in Nevada, near Las Vegas, where he's a registered sex offender still. And he did work for a time as like a home health care assistant, personal care support. And we think he still does some work in the IT world. I have a couple numbers that I think are good for Abraham. I've reached out. I have not heard back. But if he gets back to me, I will let you know. And hopefully get a little further into the mind of one of the predators I've caught.
More of our story in a moment.
As always, I like to pick your brains, hear your questions. And this week's question is from Matt in Pittsburgh.
Hi, Chris. This is Matt from Pittsburgh. I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you do. I started out watching your original TCAP investigations when I was a child myself, and now with kids of my own, I have a new appreciation for everything that you do. My question is, I noticed that in the takedown investigations, it's often a prostitution or a hookup situation, which takes place over the course of hours or a couple of days, whereas in the TCAP investigations, it was more often a lonely man essentially trying to develop a long-term relationship with the girl, which would take place over the course of weeks or months. Is this difference a result of it being a police-led investigation as opposed to the civilian-based perverted justice group? Or is it more so a reflection on what the specific predators are looking for? Also, I noticed that it seems like you would reference specific lines in the transcripts in the TCAP investigations, but not so much on takedown. It seems like you don't actually have the transcripts necessarily right there in front of you. Do you have less time to prepare, or do you not have access to the full transcripts for the takedown investigations? Just wondering if there was an explicit reason for these differences that I noticed. Thanks so much, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you for the very thoughtful question and your very sharp observations. Obviously, the platforms upon which adults can approach children have evolved. You know, in the beginning, Matt, perverted justice decoys would just go into chat rooms on AOL and Yahoo, maybe MySpace, a few other places. And that's where most of the activity was taking place. So you'd see these longer conversations. We'd see our fair share of fast movers, there's no question. But we would see longer periods of grooming, especially when it came to the predators I've caught who had criminal histories, who had done this before, who had been arrested before. They were careful. They took their time. Now, this still goes on, and we still see it. But because the activity is now so diffuse, because there are so many platforms now out there, law enforcement, we as journalists have had to change our tactics. So yes, in many cases, you will see somebody looking for a hookup or somebody underage offering sex in exchange for financial support. And because there are more fast movers in any individual investigation, there isn't the lengthy chat in some cases that there would be in a longer grooming process. Again, we still have long chats, but sometimes they're very quick. When perverted justice was involved, we had a system for printing the transcripts. We would get them, and then law enforcement would get them almost simultaneously. Now, because the people are coming quicker in some cases, I have a general understanding of the chat. I have seen the chat play out on the law enforcement decoy's phone or tablet. So I encapsulate that into my questioning. And when I have the opportunity, I still like to use lengthy and specific quotes. And I do, and will continue to do so. But you're right, Matt. Sometimes we're moving a little quicker because the internet moves a little quicker and the predators are moving a little quicker. So we adapt. It's been 20 years since our first investigation. This month, March 2004, was the first investigation. Recently, as you probably know, we profiled the very first predator in the door. And we will continue to adapt as we go forward with these investigations. Thank you, Matt. As always, you can find me all over social media. Official Chris Hansen on Instagram, at Chris Hansen on X, TikTok, Have a Seat with Chris Hansen, Cameo, should you desire to communicate with me there. And True Blue, my streaming crime network, TRUBLU, watch TrueBlue.com for details. Brand new takedown investigations, that's what we call the predator cases now. More on the way every week. And as always, you can find me right here at chris@predatorpodcast.com. I'll be watching and listening.
A Huda Media Production.